We are talking, and we've been talking about this incredible passage in Scripture about the armor of God, the armor that we place on. And over the past several weeks, we have been working through item by item to move it out of the realm of confusion, the realm of just a piece of antiquity that we really don't have a relationship with. Most of us don't carry swords. Most of us don't wear helmets. Most of us don't carry shields, okay? These are items that we know, but they're not part of our everyday life. And yet the Scripture uses them as analogy. And what we're finding as we look deeper into God's Word, there is a purpose and a beautiful harmony between the words and the examples shown and what it means to us in today's world. It's just as relevant today as it was when it was written, when it was a time when people carried swords and shields and wore helmets throughout the day. It is just as relevant because it's not based upon a cultural description. It is based upon a spiritual power and truth that God has given us. God has said that no matter what the temptation, no matter what the trial, no matter what the fight, I am giving you everything that you need to stand. That whatever hell throws at you to try to knock you down, to try to make you fall, to try to belittle you and lower you, God is saying, I have equipped you and I have given you everything that you need that hell can throw its worst at you. And when it's done huffing and puffing and blowing, trying to knock you down, when the dust clears, you will still be standing, not based upon your own strength, but upon obedience and acceptance of what God has given you. And this passage that we're looking at tells us in detail what we need to do, how we need to live our life to take advantage of the beautiful, conquering presence of God in our life. And so over the past couple of weeks, we have been taking it item by item and breaking it down and taking it and ingesting the Word of God and making it to a point where we can say, this is what I need to do next. And we see a harmony between the two. We also see a necessity. That in the passage, he says, look, there is no give and take. There is no a la carte. He says, take on the whole armor. And let's put up this verse. Let's read this passage together. Therefore, take up. Can we just read this together? We've been studying this the last couple of weeks. All right, let's read this together. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And tonight, if we could back up two verses to verse 14. Yep, verse 15. You know better than I do. You're right on track there. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're going to wrap this up, and we're going to see the harmony in all of this tonight. Can we stand one more time? You need to pray for me, pray for you, and let God speak tonight. Lord, we're asking for your help and your authority. God, let your message be clear. Help us to understand and get this, God. This is so, so important. We pray, Lord God, I need your anointing. God, I need your direction. God, let your word be true. Let your word be true. Help us, Lord God, to take advantage of what you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody as you're seated. Tell them, take all of the armor. And you may be seated. As we close out, if you just put that verse up again, we see in the middle of this description of battle gear something that doesn't really kind of fit. We talk about the armor of God, and a lot of times we associate this passage with spiritual warfare or fighting or being able to stand in the midst of a fight. And yet in the midst of this, there's this change of wording, there's this change of direction when it is dealing with this description of what Paul is using, and the example he uses is our shoes. And instead of fighting words, instead of army language, instead of the aggressive nature that he used in the other ones, fiery darts and quenching things and shields and swords and all of these other things, when he comes to describing our feet, he uses different words here, and he uses a word that really has very little to do with war, with fighting, with the purpose behind it all. We see that this word peace is used right in the middle of the description of items that we associate with war. There's a purpose to this. There's a purpose to this. As Paul is using each example, and each one has fit, and we've come to learn and understand how they all fit together. When he comes to this, he says, your feet, your direction, your marching orders. That when it comes to where you need to be headed, when it comes to the direction, now that you're armed, that you should be marching, the purpose behind it all is that this explanation, preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we can look at it in one sense, and we can say, well, really, the object of war is peace. That the object of the fighting is ultimately peace, even in a very negative sense where someone would want to take over aggressively. After that aggressive act has happened, their wish is then everything would be peaceful and allow them to be in control. And the wars are fought not just to fight, but the wars are fought because there is a conflict, and the object of war is ultimately to bring about peace. And so we could look at it from that stance, and we say, well, okay, that's our goal. Our goal as Christians shouldn't just to be, you know, causing fights and getting everybody mad at us. We should work to bring harmony. We should work to get along and bring peace. But that's not what he's saying here, because he introduces two other words into this passage that causes us to have to look at it from a different perspective. He didn't say that your feet shod with just with peace or just the outcome of peace, but he brings two interesting words in it which changes everything, and that is this: the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's deeper than just harmony. It's deeper. It's something more than just everyone getting along and everyone finding a contentment lever. This is a ministry. This is a gospel. The gospel that he's using here is the same word that is used again and again throughout the New Testament to talk about what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. He says, look, the purpose behind it all, the purpose behind this, yes, you're armed. Yes, you have all of these things. But your marching orders, your direction is the preparation of the gospel of peace. The ministry and the purpose behind the ministry and the purpose behind what Jesus came to do of peace. How many know the Prince of Peace? The Prince of Peace. Same wording used here. He says, there is more going on here. And he's referring back to two passages, one in Romans and one found in the Old Testament, if we could put that up. In Isaiah, look at this, writing prophetically in the same way, says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings and proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, and he sums this up here. He says he's not just talking about messengers who bring forth, hey, it's a sunny day. That's not what he's talking about here. That's good news, especially good news around here. He's not talking about those who proclaim peace, just saying, oh, hey, it's peaceful. Everyone is getting along. No, he sums it up. He says, look, I want you to look at all of this in a different perspective. The good news that I'm talking about, the peace that I'm talking about, the good tidings that I'm talking about have to do with this single phrase at the end, that your God reigns. You see, the good news is that God still is in control of it all. Peace, it can be proclaimed because there is a Prince of Peace that is there giving us peace, that God is still Lord of it all. The good tidings that we share, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Why? Because unto us, today, in the city of David, there is born not just a counselor, not just someone who's going to give us coaching advice, but a Savior, one that goes above and beyond, one that can pay the price that we can't pay. And that is the message that we proclaim. We're proclaiming the salvation that our God reigns. And he says, hey, it's the feet, it's the marching orders, it's the direction of those that get this and understand it. And this is the same thing is echoed in the book of Romans. Look at this. He goes back and he says, how then can they call on one they have not believed in? Who's he talking about? The writer of Romans is saying this. He says, look, to proclaim the gospel is to not just come into a church and tell people that already know about it. Proclaiming the gospel isn't just coming around and people who have already experienced, well, let's just share our experience over and over and over and over again. It's like the joke about the two people that knew every joke. Did you hear about this one? It's like they would just say, number 117, number 12, oh, they wouldn't even need to share it anymore, right? Because they knew every joke. That's a crazy example, I know, but I'm getting someplace that he says, look, you're called to share it with people who don't know. It's not just about coming into church with people who believe like you and who've experienced God like you do and just coming and celebrate. There is a part that we need that. That is important, but it is more than that. Your mission, your direction, the reason why you are armed is to go and proclaim it. And this is what he's talking about. How then can they call on one they haven't believed in? How are they supposed to be saved if they haven't heard? How are they supposed to come to God if they haven't been introduced to Him yet? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? You see, there has to be a bridge. There has to be that sharing. There has to be one that is going out to share the good news. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And the word that he uses for preaching isn't what I'm doing here. It's what you do and I do out there. It's about sharing what God has done. It's about introducing someone to a God that they haven't heard of yet or had an opportunity to believe in yet. And look at what he says. This is the premise of it. He says, look, how can they call on one they haven't believed in? How can they believe in one whom they haven't heard? How can they hear without someone sharing it to them? And look at this next verse. He goes all the way back to Isaiah. How can anyone preach unless they are sent? And he goes all the way back and says, it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. How beautiful is the purpose and the direction. How beautiful is the marching orders of those that are obedient to the purpose that God has given them. Now, we see this, we understand this, we call this outreach, we call this witnessing, we call this sharing, we call this all kinds of things. And as a group of individuals, as church believers, this is something that we know we should do. This is something that we have been taught. Everyone ought to. You should share your faith. You ought to invite someone with you to church. You ought to teach someone a Bible study. You really should. And these things like should and ought, and you better think about it, and you really need to start heading in that direction, consider it, all go out the window when we realize that outreach is part of your armor. It is part of what he says, take on the whole armor. It's not optional. It's not something that maybe someday we should do. It's just as vital to you as every other piece he talks about, because it is the model of what Christ came to do. It is his purpose. And if we are going to align ourselves with him, then we better have the same heartbeat and purpose as him. Look at this. This next verse, it says, sums up what Jesus came to do. For the Son of Man has come to what? To seek and to save that which are lost. He's saying, look, my whole purpose is to proclaim, is to be and to proclaim the good news. My purpose is to go after those that haven't believed in me, that haven't heard about me, that are lost, that are hurting, that are empty, that are needing something in their life that they can't find anyplace else. That was why he came. That was his purpose. And if we are to call ourselves Christian, which means a Christ follower, then why is this not necessary to our walk with God? Of which the scripture says it is necessary. It's part of it. Take on the whole armor, which means put your shoes on. It's your direction. It's your marching orders. It's where you need to be headed. Yes, we have all of this protection. We got our sword and our shield and our helmet and all of these things. And we could stand our ground and guard our territory. But God says, that's not what I've called you to do. I've called you to go. And can we put verse 15 back up again? And do this, that your job is the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now we understand this. Now, this the gospel of peace is simply that. It's going to people who don't know and sharing God to them, sharing Christ to them. But I love that he uses this word. Your job is to simply prepare them. Your job isn't to change them. Your job isn't to condemn them. Your job isn't to tell them where they need to be and how high they need to jump. No. Your job is simply to prepare them for an experience with God. And so we ask the question, how do you prepare someone? How do you prepare someone to meet and come to a relationship with God? See, it's very different, isn't it? If we knew and looked at our faith from that perspective. How am I preparing someone? Because I know something happens on two fronts when I get this right. When I am sharing my faith grows. When I am reaching someone and trying to reach them for Christ, I am growing in my faith. When I get concerned and I get involved in someone else's growth and someone else coming to Christ, all of a sudden my faith takes a huge leap forward. You've seen it. Hey, isn't it, you're inviting somebody to church and all of a sudden, boy, you're interested in what's going on around church, aren't you? You become aware of all kinds of things that need to happen and need to be done and the ways that we can improve. Why? Because you're invested in it. Hey, I'm bringing somebody and you guys better be on your A game. Man, we make sure we're praying ahead of time. We need to make sure that this place is looking good and that we are worshiping in a way that's reflecting God. Because what? Because I'm invested in it. I'm interested in it. And something has come alive in my spirit. Why? Because I'm marching in the direction that God has told me to march. I'm there preparing. I can't change them, but I'm working and I'm sharing and I'm trying to introduce them so that they can experience what I am experiencing. And all the while, God says, you see how this works? You see how it's preparing you? Here's the thing. When you're sharing the gospel, temptations start to drop. When you're invested in living a life in front of someone else to prepare them, all of a sudden you start thinking differently. It's like how I should talk, where I should go, what I should do. Why? Because I'm in the preparation business. They're watching me. I'm there trying to introduce them to Christ. We become aware in our own life, and it protects us. It not only directs us, but it's part of what he says is so important. Outreach is not optional. Let me say that again. Outreach is not optional any more than faith is optional, than salvation is optional, than God's word is optional. It's necessary. Turn to somebody and tell them outreach is necessary. Outreach is necessary. Do you know why? You know why outreach is necessary? Because God has perfectly placed us to reach the people that he is dying to reach. The church is his hands and his feet, therefore we must follow in his mission. If we are the body of Christ in this day and age, then we better be doing what he would do if he were here. And the church isn't the building, the church is you and I, and that means that we must be doing what he would be doing. That we are there, and he says, I understand that you're limited. I'm the only one that can change him, so I'm just calling you to prepare. Go and open the door. Go and introduce them. Go and create an environment where you can say, hey, I don't have the answers, but I know a God that does. Won't you come with me? And as a church, we must be a place where people can come and find the hope that they so desperately need. That's why we're here. That's the reason why we're here. We're not here to make you happy. We're not here to make you comfortable. We're not here to have and meet all of your needs. No, that is not why the church is here. Yes, we want you to be happy coming to church here. We're not going to purposely make you mad, all right? We're not going to put embarrassing pictures of you up on the board and laugh at you. That's not our goal. We're trying to make it as comfortable as possible. We have padded seats, for crying out loud. I mean, we serve coffee, you know, in the morning. We have donuts in the morning. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, we will do everything that we can, but that is never our purpose. That is never our priority. Our priority is people who don't know him, that we create an environment that says, hey, let me introduce you to someone. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And over these last several weeks, it's been so exciting. It's so exciting because you know what? We're messed up. We are. We know that. It's only God's grace. But God is sending us more messed up people. And we can relate with them. And we can be there and care for them. I love what God is doing. And we don't even know the situations that are coming through our doors. I was talking to somebody this morning. One of the children in our Sunday school class. Broken. Parent is in prison for physically abusing. Precious. In a class hearing about a God that loves them. Having never known that. That's what we're about. Yes. It's the one that comes through the door and says, you know, I've been looking for something for such a long time, and I just have such an emptiness, and I feel something here that I haven't felt before. That's what we're about. Yes. That's what this church needs to be about. That's what you need to be about. And so I ask, who are you preparing? Who in your life are you preparing on purpose? Not by accident. But say, oh, God loves them. God's after them. What can I do to introduce them to Christ? What can I do to introduce them? God's given me a brain that works. How can I use it to creatively and use the words that he has given me in situations that he places in front of me to introduce them? Not to change them, but just say, hey, what are you doing Easter Sunday? Why don't you come with me? And come on, everybody goes to church on Easter. Come on, tell you what, you come and I'll make you dinner afterwards. Well, that's not Christian. Yes, it is. What are you doing? You're not changing. You're saying, I just want to prepare you. I want to introduce you. Why? Because it's necessary and God wants to do something great in your life. We've got to be a reaching church. And I'll be the first one to admit to say, we've dropped the ball. We have. But we're not going to stay there. I'm thankful we've been working since the beginning of the year. We've been putting plans together that we're going to be reaching our neighborhoods. We're going to be doing stuff, going out in our neighborhoods, reaching families, doing all kinds of things on purpose to help just prepare hearts. Here 2 years ago, we started doing something, walking around neighborhoods, and what are we doing? We're praying for homes. We're praying for lives. We don't even know. What are we doing? We're preparation. God, I don't know these people yet, but I'm praying for them. God, if it's your will and your right timing, open the door because I want to take that next step. God, I don't know the situation that's going on in this place, but God, you do, and I'm praying ahead of time that you would use me and allow me to do what you've called me to do. You see, God, I'm marching in the direction that you said I need to march. God, I got my shoes on, and I'm moving in the direction that you would move. And so, God, I'm out there caring, and I'm out there reaching, and I'm out there sharing what you've done in me. I'm not out there pointing fingers and condemning. I'm not out there trying to be some high and mighty. I love the message that was said today that perfection isn't about behavior. Perfection isn't about being perfect and doing it right. Perfection is just allowing and staying the course to what God asks us to do. And that's what we need to do. We just keep reaching. We keep reaching. We keep reaching. We've got to have a heartbeat for the lost. God, convict us. God, allow us to see the doors in front of us. When was the last time that you shared? When was the last time you invited someone to attend a service or an event that would introduce them to a Savior? When was the last time that you went into a relationship or an environment on purpose to say, these people need God. God, I'm going here for the purpose of just being a light. And do it in a way that draws, not offends, that would lead them to God, not away from God. And allow God to use you because that is what he said. He says, I've given you all the arm. I've given you all the protection. I've given you everything you need. Now go and reach someone that doesn't know me. In the meantime, you can walk into the very gates of hell and you don't need to be afraid because you're armed. You can walk right into the enemy's camp and said, Satan, you thought you had him? No, I'm introducing them to somebody that's going to change their life. They're coming with me out of this, and we don't need to be afraid because he says, hell can throw everything they want at you. You're protected. You've got your armor on, but the purpose of the armor isn't to defend your castle. It's to increase his kingdom. It's not to defend your way of life and your comfort zone. It's to increase the kingdom of God. And it's time that the church began marching again. That God, we've armored up. We understand it. And we're moving forward. Why do you think there is such attacks upon this church? And I'll just say openly, there's all kinds of stuff going on that you don't know. All kinds of stuff. Crazy stuff. Wild stuff. All happening at once. What's happening? Because we're getting it right and we're reaching and we're seeing growth and hell wants to fight back. But here's the best part about it. It doesn't matter. You don't need to be afraid. God's word says, end of it all, dust clears. You're the one standing. You're the one standing. So as we wrap up this series, I did something, hopefully this carried across. I rewrote this. I paraphrased this scripture based upon what we've been talking about. And if we would rewrite this passage again and read this passage again, this is what it really means in our 21st century connected internet, Facebook, I'm busy, 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 real life, real world, I don't carry a sword, I don't carry a shield, but yet God's word is still true environment. This is what he's talking about. This is the life that he says, you do this, you'll stand. Look at what he says here. Look at this passage. Is this the new one? Okay. Therefore, Take up the whole armor of God that you will be able to withstand in the evil day, no matter how bad it gets. Right? Take it all up. Don't skip any pieces. You got to do all of this. It's all inclusive. You got to have it all, okay? Because at the end, having done all, do what he says, be obedient to stand. This is the end result. We know this is a promise. And look at what we need to do. Here is as clear as I can make. Therefore, by studying your Bible, so you know what is truth. Live your life in all areas according to the way God says to live. Reach out to others and introduce them to the hope found in Christ. Join together with other believers to remind yourself that God is still in control of it all. Be refilled again and again with the Holy Spirit and memorize God's word to quote in times of temptation. It doesn't get any clearer than that. That's what he's talking about. It's not go find a sword and a helmet. When we look at God's word, it is as simple as that. It is as clear as that. You want to stand? Do that. You want to make it through? Do that. You want to fight and go and do go into to the realm and just be a witness for God and not have to worry about what happens? Do that. You want to have a life that is overcoming and making a difference? Do that. It's as simple as obedience. And it's not, well, I'm going to do this and not that. No, he says, you got to do it all. But here's the thing. When you do that, God doesn't lie. God's protection is upon you. God's anointing is upon you. And it is necessary. Too often, here is the case, that we fail to do this and then blame God for not keeping up his part of the deal. When we have marched into battle and dropped what God says protects us and then blamed God because we were unwilling or unsubmitted to his way in our life. But here's what I know. That kind of life, that kind of clarity, changes everything. Can we go back? Just, I want you to imagine again, let's back this up. Next verse. As we read through this again, look at your life and say, am I wearing this? Do I have this on? Is this representing my life? Or have I been marching through life, making my heart, making my life vulnerable to attack, when all the while God says, hey, I've given you what you need to stand. Look at this. Am I studying God's word? Not sitting in rows and just listening, but am I doing it myself so that I know what truth is? Am I allowing God to make and set the guidelines and the rules for my life in all areas? Not just the heaven or hell ones, but in all those other areas as well. The ones that hurt, the ones that make me uncomfortable. Am I living life that way? Am I reaching out to others? Am I being an evangelist? Am I sharing the greatest news ever to others that need it so desperately that all eternity is at stake? Or have I become so comfortable of where am I at? Am I being filled again and again, next verse, with God's Spirit? Not just in an emotional way, but transferring authority, because that's what the Holy Ghost is. It's transferring authority again over to him and saying, God, you're Lord of my life. Refill me again on a daily basis. Or is it once every revival or once every will I get convicted? No, it needs to be part of our day-to-day experience. God, you're Lord of my life. Refill me again with your Spirit. I want to start the day. I want to go through the day knowing that you are in me and alive in me. And I'm putting God's word in my heart that when I'm tempted, I just do what Jesus do, and I just begin to quote from God's word and allow the power that he has given me through his word to do what he intended it to do. Is that my life? God's saying, that's the life I gave you. Now, here's what I know. Every one of you can do every one of these. You are all capable of putting on the armor that God gave you. Nowhere does it say that you need to be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. You don't have to run a 3-minute mile. Okay? You don't have to be so tall or so not tall or have a certain last name or certain degree. No. It's an all skate. It's for everybody. There is only one condition. There is only one decision that you have to make, and it makes all the difference in the world. And it just is a very simple word, very simple act, but yet it's something that we wrestle with, and that is this: am I willing to submit to God? Because spiritual warfare, understand this, is not anything to do with your power or might. Our role in the battle is to submit to God. It's not to stand strong and be bold and be brave and be loud. No. It's to humble ourselves in the presence of God and say, not my will, but your will. Not my way, but your way. So God, I'm going to live my life your way. God, I'm going to seek your spirit. God, I'm going to share the way that you've commanded me and directed me to share. God, I'm going to study your word because you told me to. I am going to live a submitted life. And this is the difference in Scripture, because a submitted life is a powerful life. A submitted life is a strong, conquering life. A submitted life is a victorious life. And a life that says that I will stand on my own, I can show you again and again, is a defeated life, is a broken life, is a life that is destined for failure. But it is one that says, okay, God, there is a fight and it's bigger than what I can do. And so I realize my strength doesn't come from me. It comes from you. So I yield myself. I yield my will. I yield my time, my resources, my priority to your greatness. And somehow through the glory that you have come through, you work through me, you fight through me, and you protect me, you use me, you sanctify me, and you do great things through me when I yield and I submit myself to you. You see, submitting to God is something that we've got to do every single day, because it's a decision that we face every day. God, is it your way or my way? Is it what easiest for me, or is it the way that you do it? And God says, oh, this is how it works. When you do it my way, I never lie. I will not fail you. Our problem is that we often think we're God, and it doesn't work. Your armor doesn't work. Your armor doesn't gonna work. You're not strong enough to face the temptation. You don't have what it takes. But God says, if you'll submit to me, live life my way, there isn't a thing that hell can throw at you that will take you down. His strength, not my strength. I'm so thankful for the power and the relevance of God's word. It changes us. It encourages us. When we study God's word, we need to move toward the clarity of what this means, of how we apply it, of what we're going to do. God's given us everything that we need. Your choice is simple. You're going to put your armor on? Because the battle's already here. The fight's already raging, but the choice is up to you. Will you use what God has given you and be victorious and see God do great things? Or try to do it on your own and then just circle back around. That didn't work. I'm thankful that God equips us. I'm thankful that God fights for us. I'm thankful there's a God that says, yeah, you're messed up, but I love you anyway. Yeah, you can't do it, but I'm going to be the strength through you. Yeah, I know you're weak and you'll fall every time, but boy, I'll prop you up with my strength and you will be victorious. I'm thankful for a God that sees me through the blood of Calvary, not through what brought me there in the first place. But it's not condemnation. He says, I see you through my blood. I see you washed. I see you perfected. I see you in light of what I paid for you, in light of what I did for you. Come in. You are welcome into the presence. You are welcome into the Holy of Holies. You are welcome and called into his presence. Won't you come? Won't you take advantage of what God has?